Ready for something scary?
Okay!
You're in the right spot. The iScary Podcast collects spooky, creepy news stories to discuss and give you chills.
Whatever.
Just so you know, hosts discuss topics they've just learned about and have no prior knowledge. Their views are just for your entertainment.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the iScary Podcast. Joining us again is Mike Pashek. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm Ann Kimbrough, and I'm really happy to pull you in again. Thanks for being a co-host, and are you ready for some more scary stuff?
Yes, glad to be here, and I'm ready to go.
Let's jump right into this.
Okay.
Our first story up is called Hookup Disaster. So an online crush gets so huge that they have to meet up. And she flies to meet him. But when she shows up in his town, they go hiking?
It's so sunny.
What's wrong with a little sun?
It's too hot.
And it just goes downhill from there.
I'm going back.
Come on, don't be like that.
She goes her way, he goes his.
I'll meet you at the car.
Instead, she turns up dead in his backyard. Whoa.
What?
That's like worst case scenario for a date.
I can't believe that happened.
I think we need to know the full details on this one, though, don't you?
Yeah, it's a bit vague.
Let's send it off to Sydney. Sydney, take it away. Give us the full details.
News.
Hookup disaster from Crime Online. Two social media influencers strike up an online friendship, but it sadly ends with one turning up dead. It all starts when lovely Angela Tremonte flies to Arizona to meet handsome Dario Dizdar, who happens to be a police officer with the Phoenix PD. But when these two crushes meet, they don't go out for a romantic date, but instead go hiking on Camelback Mountain in 100 plus temperatures and don't bring along any water. When they get separated, Dizdar completes the hike to the summit and Tremonte turns up dead in Dizdar's backyard due to dehydration. Presently, no foul play is suspected, although the officer lives in the area and is believed to be a frequent hiker.
Wow.
Okay. We both live in very hot climates.
Right.
Would you go hiking without any water?
No. I mean, I've learned my lesson. So I make sure I have water when I'm riding my bike, running, whatever. But, yeah. You know, you see people hiking Mount Charleston, which is nearby where I live, and they are heading up to the top, which is, you know, could be a 4, 5, 6 hour hike with no water. And I'm coming down. It's like, you can't make it to the top. You need water. Oh, isn't it just like a little ways?
You've told that to people.
Oh, yes. They just don't understand like how far the hike is. They don't understand dehydration. They don't understand because they probably come from an area where, you know, it's not an issue.
Well, I get then that she didn't understand, but one, he's an Arizona police officer and he wasn't new to hiking.
Right.
He lived in the area. He might not have known the trail they were on or something, but he clearly had hiked.
Everybody in Arizona knows Camelback. I know it and I'm not even from Arizona. So yeah, everybody knows it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and I imagine it's a big enough mountain like Mount Charleston. You wouldn't just say, let's just go to the top.
Yeah, it's not that big. It's when you're driving through Phoenix, you can kind of see it there. I'm guessing it would take you maybe an hour to walk to the top. It's not that bad. It's not like Mount Charleston where it is, you know, a 6 hour hike. Or
okay.
Yeah.
But over 100 degrees temperature, pretty hot. That Fahrenheit, for those of you that need to convert it to Celsius, please do. Isn't that like 40 degrees Celsius?
Celsius about 40 degrees, yeah.
And I mean, obviously, this had to be his pick. I mean, she didn't fly all the way I think she lived back east somewhere. She didn't fly all the way there and say, hey, let's go hiking.
No, it was his pick. But I still go back to, it sounds like a bit of foul play on his part.
So far, they're saying there is no foul play.
I know.
Bad judgment, which is sad, but I agree with you. It sounds bad.
Like, if you get dehydrated, I mean, I don't know how serious it was. It doesn't seem like you're just going to die. I mean, it seems like something else had to happen.
Well, yeah, we need the coroner's report. I mean, the thing is, if you were this girl's family or a fan, she's a big social media influencer, I would want more answers, because this does not add up. That one, she went there to meet up with this guy, and it sounded like it was supposed to be some kind of hookup, that they would go hiking. That's what you do first. That they would go without water, totally unprepared. I mean, none of it makes sense. The report made it sound like she basically got off the airplane, met up with him, and they went hiking, which sounds ridiculous, too, to do. Airplanes are you get dehydrated on just an airplane ride.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why she was so far gone. But
well, and then he left her, went to the top. Like that sounds a bit suspicious as well.
Terrible. I mean, I don't know, just from the basis of a first date, you don't leave the girl. You don't just say, yeah, go back. I mean, obviously she probably wasn't feeling 100%. She probably felt like, oh, I've kind of met my max. I'm going to go back to the car. And she doesn't know the area. Clearly she didn't find the car. Although I don't know how she found his house.
How did she find his house? Yeah. See?
I don't know. How?
That is a little bit suspect.
And he's a police officer. So it's because he's a police officer, it's not being investigated. I don't want to put that on anyone, but that would also mean to me they should over-investigate to say it's above board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe part of the flaw here is the story, but this is a pretty recent thing that happened. So maybe more will come.
Sure.
But on the surface, to me, you shouldn't just say, oh, it looks like no foul play.
Yeah, no.
It looks like foul play to me, and I know nothing.
We're not investigators. We're not anything like that. But the first thing we both thought of is that, hey, this needs to be investigated a little bit further. There seems like something going amiss here that we didn't hear about.
I agree. I put this on the follow-up column of what we should see what happened. But I mean, it obviously it could just be stupidity, but it's really stupid. I don't believe that cop would be that stupid.
No, but it's scary to think that, okay, if she did get back to his house on her own and she went into the backyard, it's still over 100 degrees and she's, you know, dehydrated. Maybe her breathing is starting to slow down and she's just, you know, kind of laying on the ground in his backyard and basically dying. You know, that part to me is kind of really freaky. If that's in fact what happened.
I mean, I don't know either how long it takes someone to die from dehydration. I mean, she obviously, the picture makes her look very pretty, petite, young gal, though, you know, so technically, you know, she probably didn't have a lot of water stored in her body. If dehydration works faster on people that are thinner.
Okay. Here's another thing.
Younger?
The hike.
It does on younger kids.
Yeah,
you know?
But the hike up to Mount Camelback isn't that long. So he couldn't have been like, it's not like she walked back to his house and was in the backyard for 6-8 hours, because it wouldn't take him that long. So the time frame of when he came back and went back to the house and saw her there, it would probably just be an hour to maybe two at the most. I just don't, just doesn't seem like she would die in that short period of time.
I agree. Yeah. Your average healthy person, I mean, we are assuming she's healthy. So who knows? She might have had an underlying condition.
Yeah.
Once again, we don't know if she was on anything or anything like that could have added to it, which is why it didn't say if they did or didn't do a report, you know, the full coroner's report, but they sure should. I think anything like this, that to me sounds mysterious, but if the police don't think it's mysterious, then do they just go, oh, well.
That in itself is mysterious.
I know. It's freaky. I mean, I believe in our police to protect us. And this doesn't sound like the case for this woman. I mean, honestly, you had to feel pretty comfortable going to visit some guy that you really only knew online because he's a police officer.
Yeah.
So, I
yeah.
mean, is that a lesson to us that you should?
Well,
I mean,
it goes even.
I mean, it wasn't his job to take care of her, but.
But even goes more far reaching than that is with the advent of online dating and social media. there's people all out there meeting somebody for the first time and they only met them online or they only talked to them via Zoom or, you know, Skype or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to be careful because there's, you know, there's a lot of crazy people out there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you have to second guess things. Meet in neutral places where there's water. My God. I don't know. I mean, honestly, probably nothing bad really happened. I mean, I would like to believe that it was just a big mistake on both their parts. And it was not foul play premeditated. That's what I'd like to believe, because I like to believe in the goodness of people. But this one just really disturbs me.
Yeah. No, I'm on the same page with you about, you know, believing in that people are, you know, have their best, other people's best interests in their best interests. But this one seems a little bit suspect.
Really suspect. Well, I've got a worse one.
Oh, no.
For you. Okay, because we'll jump on to the next story. It's called Uber Driver Danger. Say that three times fast. So we're talking about a normal everyday thing, an Uber driver.
You were so great. Thanks for the ride.
But in between picking up people and dropping them off, he starts shooting people all across town. Yeah.
Wow. That is just, I can't even fathom somebody doing that and having the wherewithal to just shut that off and pick up people, you know, in his Uber thing and then go back and forth. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I got to agree. But let's get the full story. I'm afraid this is going to make it even more shocking. Sydney, take it away.
News.
Uber driver danger from CNN. A Kalamazoo, Michigan man drove around town and randomly shot people, killing 6 and wounding 2 others. In between the attacks, he did his job as an Uber driver, picking up people and dropping them off without incident. During the trial, the Uber driver, who had no criminal record and passed a background check, interrupted the proceedings once with rambling, incoherent remarks that made no sense. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
It's crazy. I mean, it is another level of, was he on something, or did he just snap, or was he always that way? Obviously, if he'd never had any other issue, this is just like he just snapped all of a sudden. And how can you protect yourself against that?
Or how can you even vent those type of people, right? If there's no prior history, there's no medical history about it, there's nothing that you can, you know, point towards.
That's a good point. I mean, I know Uber probably got a lot of grief for this, but how could Uber have figured that out about this guy?
Yeah, I don't know how what the process is to become an Uber driver. I don't think it's too extensive.
I don't think it's much.
I think if you can drive and you have car insurance, and they probably do some sort of a little background check, but it's not too extensive. It's not like you're going to be, you know, with the Secret Service or something like that.
No, it's not. But wonder if you were one of these people that took a ride with this guy. Did they not notice anything strange? Did they get out of the car and go, oh, I'm going to leave my feedback is like, this guy's nuts. Or did they just like, you know, great driver. Would love to ride with him again.
Well, if he was that, if maybe he was a bit schizophrenic or whatever you want to call it. And so if he could just turn on his charm and his, you know, driving his Uber and being like a normal person and then turn that off and, like you say, go on a shooting rampage and then turn it back on. If he could do that without the people that were in his car really noticing, then yeah.
Well, where's the gun? I guess it must in the trunk. Where's he keeping the gun that he's just shooting people with?
The glove box.
The glove box. Okay, there you go. I mean, just, it could have been just so that gives a whole new thing of shotgun, a different meaning to that term. Sorry.
Or just in the side door, right? The side door, right? Like if you have a little thing there that holds Kleenex or whatever.
That's even freakier. What if you had said the wrong thing to this guy? I mean, I don't understand why he's not randomly shooting people in his car. I mean, I that wouldn't be random, but, you know, why were they safe? Because it was his job.
Well, no, because if he shoots people in his car, there's blood in his car and it's kind of, you know, messy. True. If he shoots people outside that are on the street, he just keeps driving and there's no...
It makes me laugh.
We shouldn't be making fun
of it. No, well, it's like, this is, you don't know this, but I often laugh at this stuff because that's my mechanism to cope with it. Cause it's just like, it's beyond. And this one, you would not know until after the fact that you maybe read the news report on it. Have you ever had a weird driver with Uber? Have you Ubered?
Oh yeah. So I was traveling in Africa and I was hitchhiking with a friend and we were near Johannesburg, South Africa, with where all the they're like shanty towns.
Okay.
And so the two guys that picked us up were white South Africans. And as we were driving, they were both drinking Jack Daniels and Coke.
Oh.
And as we got further in the trip, the one guy pulled out a gun and started showing us in the rearview mirror. So we were in the back seat. And
wow.
Getting more drunk, and the driver actually hit a goat on the road.
Oh my gosh.
And we didn't stop because it was a goat from some, you know, person that was, you know, walking it or taking it to its pasture or whatever.
That's money or something.
It's money for those people.
Yeah.
And so we were very, very scared, very nervous. At the end of the day, they had to stop for gas and we said, okay, this is fine. We'll get out here.
No, you stay us.
They said, no, you can't get out. There's no place for you to go. And we're like, because our bags were in the trunk, you know, locked in the trunk.
Oh, no.
Their two wives pulled up behind us.
Who are these guys?
And said, who are those people? Oh, we just picked them up as hitchhikers because they were all traveling somewhere together, but in separate cars. And finally, the women just said, well, if they want to go, let them go. So luckily, those women were there.
Wow. Wow. That's scary. Oh, I don't think I'd ever do that again. But it sounds like you probably had to get in another cab to get somewhere.
No, we were hitchhiking.
Oh, you were hitchhiking. Okay. Before Uber, but just about the, it's probably, do you think, do you relate Uber to hitchhiking to some extent?
Well,
it's a little less dicey, but.
A little less dicey, but I was in an Uber car in Los Angeles late at night, 2 a.m, and we stopped at a light. It was raining. And the car behind us didn't stop and slammed right into us. And I just, my whole head like went like this.
Oh.
No, it was a huge hit.
Oh, wow.
And so you never know when you're in an Uber car, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's true. That's true. Oh, gosh. Well, sorry that happened to you, but you survived. You lived to tell the tale. But I think once again, it's, you just don't know sometime what's going on around you.
I think it's all the more reason to be as aware as possible of your surroundings as you can be. You know, you look at that shooting in Vegas with the concert.
Mm, yeah.
You know, how would you ever imagine that you were at a concert with, you know, whatever, 5,000, 10,000 people and somebody from a hotel room was going to shoot down at you?
Right.
You can't prepare for that.
Right. Right. But same with these random people. You know, they were just like in parking lots or I think one was a gas station.
Yeah.
And he drove by. So it's the same thing that you can't protect against that.
No, you're just standing there or you're walking and all of a sudden a car comes by at 40 miles an hour and all of a sudden you hear gunshots. Like, how are you protecting yourself against that?
Yeah, you just got to live in your little room and never leave. No, you can't do that. Oh, gosh.
You can't stay in your bubble. You have to get out there and, you know, and live life.
You do.
But
aware. You should be aware of your surroundings. You know. It might help. It wouldn't help the people in this situation. Wow, Mike, we revealed a lot. I didn't know you had such a history of issues with like drivers getting lifts places.
I probably have a few more stories there, but we don't have time today. We'll have to revisit those at another time.
We'll pull them out again. Well, once again, it shows us that the scariest thing in the world are humans. I mean, I'm not coming up with too many ghost stories here. I'll have to look for a few that don't put it all on us. That could snap in a moment.
Well, we're scary enough, right?
Yeah, we are. We are super scary. Well, thanks again for joining me for another episode of iScary Podcast. I hope you come back again, Mike.
I will.
You will. I haven't scared you away yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Be safe out there.
All right.
Thanks, and we'll catch you again on another episode.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone at iScary Podcast would like to thank you, the listeners, for joining us. And thanks also to our newscaster, Sydney Story, our announcer, Zach Mercer, plus our Step Into the Story actors, Grinnell Morris, Sydney Story, Zach Mercer, and a couple IA programs, one from Speechalo and the other is Synthesis. Last but not least, we get our sound effects from Zap Splat.
Join us again, if you dare. The iScary Podcast is produced by Wyatt Pashik and Ann Kimbrough. Copyright April 2021.